just Muscat Grapes. That had changed by the time I graduated. But I had a cousin who had taught at El Cajon, and then she married, and they had a rule that if you were married, you couldn't, during the Depression, you couldn't, if your husband was employed, you couldn't work.
Was that a rule where?
In El Cajon.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
This, in any occupation? Or just the
just
school?
Teaching.
Okay, in the school. Okay.
Teaching. I don't know what other, if that applied any other place, but it was true in the schools. And so my cousin married, and so she, I knew there was a vacancy there,
mm-hmm.
and I applied, and I thought it was all. And interestingly, when I had taught 2 years, I think, or in, I don't know if it was my second year or the third year that I'd signed my contract, and I was engaged to be married, but didn't plan to marry until the end of the year, but things went better for my husband's work, and so we decided to be married, so I went around to tell the school board.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I didn't wasn't breaching a contract purposefully. One of them was upset about it, but the others didn't mind. And what happened then was that they broke their rule,
mm-hmm.
which worked to their advantage because working in the office was a young woman who was a teacher, but her husband. She was married,
mm-hmm.
and her husband is an invalid, and she was supporting him. But she was working on a secretary salary when she should have been teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But the rule, so when they rehired me, they hired her, and to take my place when I left the next year, and she became a demonstration teacher at the state level. She was very, very good. So I thought I'd accomplished something.
When you were going to college, did you ever work part-time or?
Nothing more than babysitting.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Was there, did students work at that time, do you think?
Not very much.
Basically just went to school?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's because there was so little jobs?
That could have been part of it, but it just wasn't customary then, not it is now. Things didn't cost that much.
Mm-hmm.
And now, young people feel they have to have a certain level
mm-hmm.
Of you know, they have to have everything.
Yeah.
Of course, they're willing to be married if they have a stereo. Never mind the bed and the stove. But the stereo is very important.
For the TV, yeah.
But when we were married, I had almost nothing, and it took years to build it up. But we didn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a disgrace to...
Oops, I'll stop it for a second.
Come in!
Dr. Hardy
was a good speaker and a delightful man. And it's too bad that the one thing I remember was one time being seated next to him at a banquet, and I was seated right on top of the leg of the table, and it was awkward. And he said, those are reserved for the guests of honor. They always get the leg. So I suppose maybe as guest of honor, he was often sitting on the leg of the table. But he was a really nice person.
Did when the school was built, was there a lot of services for students, like the health services? Nothing like that. So if you got sick on campus, was there a nurse or was nothing there, or would you just never personally got sick? Or
I did one time. I don't recall if there was any help for it.
Mm-hmm. How about anything else, like financial aid or anything?
No.
Just family took care
Everyone
of
took care of themselves. They didn't think government was there to
carry it.
We hadn't gotten to that stage. You can see the big welfare state came in with Roosevelt.
Uh-huh.
And we moved a long way toward becoming very, well... It's really socialism,
mm-hmm.
Toward it, anyway. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember any of those.
Mm-hmm. Basically, it was just a school.
Mm-hmm.
Did they help you at all find a job or anything after you got out?
I don't think there was any active department with that. I don't remember. Well, I think we're each on our own.
Uh-huh.
And we found them if they're there.
So they were pretty scarce.
Yes, we were.
Do you remember any of the other classmates? How long did it take them to find work? Or?
A lot of the fellows, I just remember this one little item that a lot of them went to work in gas stations for $110 a month. My salary, my first year of teaching in El Cajon, my contract for the year was for $1,000.
For a year?
For a year. And so if you spread that over 12 months, it's $90 a month.
Well, they got more money at a gas station than you got teaching?
I guess so. I hadn't thought of that. I guess they did. So being men, maybe that was why. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you remember if men got... Was there very many men teachers?
Not like there are now. Uh-huh. It wasn't traditional to teach. You might have a man in the sixth grade, but before that, we didn't have men teaching in all grades ever.
But as far as colleges, there was a lot of men teachers.
Yes.
Do you remember if you had more men professors?
Well, if they have teachers in the faculty, I don't remember some of my. There's administration, but I don't think they... Yes, they do. Here we are, you can tell.
Seems like a pretty good mix.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was mixed pretty well. But as far as the lower levels, elementary, it was mostly women, right?
And the elementary, mm-hmm. I had my elementary and junior high credential, but I've never used the junior high credential.
You never taught over the second grade, is that, or?
Mostly second. But quite a bit of my career was in the guidance department. I worked, and they had, San Diego City Schools had a very strong, and the largest and probably the best in the world, guidance department at the time. We had our own psychiatrists and psychologists, and psychiatric social workers and home visitors, and then we were visiting teachers. Those of us who were teachers, we were visiting teachers, and we worked with children within the school who had emotional problems of adjusting to school, and that was really exciting. I liked doing that.
I see. When did you first really notice that San Diego was growing a lot?
After the war.
After the war?
Mm-hmm. So many people came in during the war tour, and the factories and things went around the clock. Many employees, so many people. We had streetcars in San Diego at that time, and the car barns were right across. See that hill right there?
Yes.
Next to us, right here.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Right up that this side of it. Did you come in this way?
I came in from Texas, and then.
Oh, then if you go out this way,
okay.
And you go down at the end here, there's a park.
Yeah.
And that's where the car barns were, the big brick building. And all night long I could hear them going in and out because I lived here.
Oh, did you?
Uh-huh. Yes, I've lived here for over 50 years.
For 50 years. Mm-hmm. And so you've seen
I've seen a lot of change and I don't like it.
Seen Mission Valley transform.
Mission Valley was it was big farms.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so picturesque.
Yes. Boy. Even in the last couple of years, all those hotels and stuff have gone up.
So once it starts filling up, it just goes. That's, and I loved it when it was the farms. A lot of doctors lived along the rim of the valley, and they had horses, and they had a ring down here, and we could watch them riding, and that was fun. But the farms were very...
Farms and dairies?
We'd watch them bring in their vegetables and things, and the corn and tomatoes, and then they had a little roadside stand down here. And when we'd see them bring the fresh things in, we'd go down and get them very fresh. It was nice.
And there was also dairies?
There was a dairy farm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They had big silos. One that sang in the chorus with me, I married Raybon, so I had a little bit of attachment to it. And later I traveled with them in Europe after they sold it. Mm. The taxes just became impossible to pay for a farm.
Do you think they try to push him out? What, do you think they try to push him out or something?
Well, I don't know. Mm. I don't know. But they didn't take into consideration it was farmland, and the taxes just went sky high because they were within the city, and that many acres would be prohibited. And of course, they got a good price for their land, but they had to give up their way of life.
Yeah.
And we gave up a lot because they just fill it up with things.
Mm-hmm.
And San Diego isn't the place it used to be. I recall that, that the city fathers were giving kind of people. George Marston, you may have heard of Marston. He was an early settler here, and then he owned a very wonderful store downtown, a classically mm-hmm. fine store. And the family, they gave the property, the Presidio down here, they gave that property, their home, adjacent to Balboa Park was given to the city. They were just a giving family. And I belong to a board of directors with Miss Mary Marston, one of George Marston's daughters, who died not long ago, at over 100 years of age. But they were very giving people and very dear. And Neighborhood House was down in the Mexican Quarter in San Diego. And we were both on the board, and I was very, very fond of her. And we had, the city schools sent all their sixth graders to camp.
Yes, still do.
Yes, well, yeah. Before they did that, I was on the board of directors at Neighborhood House, and we had a camp for the neighborhood kids. But we found it very expensive to close it and open it every year. We felt that year-round would be better, and we couldn't handle that. So I invited a friend. I had been a counselor at a camp in the Cuyamacas when I was just out of college. And so I invited her to be on the board, and she helped work it out. And that big neighborhood house sold their camp and gave the money to the city schools to work toward those city-county camps. So I was in at the very beginning of that.
Mm, I see.
And liked it because I loved camp. I believe in camp.
Do you remember, like, when you were going to school, in the 30s at all, what was the population of San Diego made of? I mean, that's as far as...
Middle class white Americans.
That was basically...
I would say so.
Uh-huh. There wasn't very many Mexican...
Well, I always had some as classmates, but never more than a very few.
Uh-huh.
And they were treated the same as we. There was no distinction made.
There was very few black people here?
Not that I came across. They just weren't in my schools. Mm-hmm. But now when I taught more recently, after my husband died and I went back to work, I taught retarded. I had people would ask me how many black children I had in my class, and I wouldn't know. It wasn't that I couldn't see black and white, it's just that I didn't see any distinction.
Mm-hmm.
But, because people are always trying to imply that they're not as bright as we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would like to have me say, well, high percentage of more than I retarded.
Yeah, yeah.
But that wasn't true.
And San Diego State, it was basically white, huh? At that time?
Yes. I'm trying to think about, you can look and see where they are. I don't know that there were any black people there.
Mm-hmm.
In the graduating class.
Did you think at that time that that women played a second to men?
I don't feel it now, and I didn't feel it then. Simply because I like the distinction between men and women. I think God intended it that way, and I think we get off track when we get away. My husband used to say, when we not agree on something, because we didn't quarrel about anything, we had a wonderful quality here, but when we would not understand each other's point of view, he'd say, well, you're a woman, and I'm a man, and that's good. And I think that's it.
Sure.
And I really am heartsick at what men are doing to themselves in trying to compete with men. And I don't mean that women are second rate. Nobody ever said that. And to go back to biblical truth, which is the basis of our God made the world and he made the rules, and we follow those or we are in trouble. And women are supposed to be submissive to men, but they are supposed to. Men are supposed to honor women. Mm-hmm. When you honor women, then they give their best, and the world is beautiful. It's just that we get all fouled up trying to compete with each other, and it doesn't work.
Do you think back in the 30s that people really thought about that kind of thing?
Men versus women?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we thought about it. I think it's always been a sore subject that women didn't make as much money as men, but I was in a field where we did. We were paid on our credential, and it had nothing to do with men or women. So I haven't ever felt the sting of that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I wouldn't like it,
mm-hmm.
because I would feel that if... But I think there are times when a woman, particularly if she's married, isn't as productive as the man, because if her child is sick at home, she's not going to be all there.
Yeah.
And there's just no way around it. And a man can divorce himself for that a little easier, because it's a woman's job to take care of him. So I think that women aren't always worth as much as men. There are times when, but that can be argued both ways. I just think it's a shame that women have given up their mystique, have given up their chosen position.
Mm-hmm. There's an old picture of the... What is that? Is that the power plant?
No, I can't tell.
It looks like a little smoke shack there.
Scripps Cottage.
Oh.
I wasn't Scripps Cottage. Is it Shop Building Renaissance? I don't remember that. Let me see if I can find a picture of them.
When you first came to that new campus, did you say, oh gosh, it's this way out of the way, and I don't know?
I remember hitchhiking out there to visit it.
When it was being built?
When it was being built. My family had to die when we found that out. But we went. They were building the water tower at the time, uh-huh. and they were putting in, there's a fence around it, or the campanile, or whatever they call that
okay.
tall.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a water tower.
Mm-hmm.
But they were building a fence around it. If you look up at it, at the top, there's a little fence. And in the corners, there's big brass balls. And the man was putting those, maybe they aren't there now, but he was putting those brass balls on, fitting them together. And he wondered if we wanted our names in it. And so my name is up there.
Oh, really? Yes. Everything.
I don't remember what corner. But
you had a hitchhike to there, but like during the school year, you carpooled, right?
Part of the time we had, when we went to the old college,
mm-hmm.
my sister was there. We had our own car.
You and your sister had your own car?
An old Franklin car. Funny old car. And one day it had trouble and it was in the shop, and they took us to school in a beautiful new Franklin, and nobody saw us. I was very let down, and I thought they'd see us coming, this beautiful new car. But there's Dr. Hardy. And I think there's Dr. Alcott.
Mm-hmm.
This man was the coach Peterson, and the Jim's
Jim.
Name.
Uh-huh.
And my little granddaughter had a cat, and she named it Peterson Jim. She heard that on radio or television, and she thought that was a name, Peterson Jim. And I just learned the other day that he had lived around You know, when you came on to Panorama Drive?
Mm-hmm.
It was a big house. The first house is a big house on your right.
Okay.
Mary O'Connor lived there when she was a little girl, about five. And next to it, I just learned the other day that Dean Peterson, that was before I lived here, it was when I was in school, but that he lived there, and I didn't know that. And here was Ada Hughes Colville, who was the Dean of Women. She wore high collar, and she was past century. She was really something. She wanted us to all be little ladies, and we weren't all.
She does look like a all throwback, huh?
She was very prim and very proper. And she said something that I do remember. She said, a true lady never unintentionally hurts anyone. Now, I wouldn't hurt anyone, even my worst enemy. Purposely. But unintentionally, you have to be pretty. But you know that my husband was like that. He didn't unintentionally hurt people. He was wonderful. But I'm not that good at it.
How important was the like sports activities to the college and?
Well, they weren't as important as they were to the men, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But and I wasn't involved in sports, but one of my good friends was, and she would probably say they were quite important, but to me they weren't.
A lot of people turn out for games, and if you recall.
Because I wasn't geared in that direction, I don't recall. We probably did, proportionately. There were more women than men in the college at that time.
Was there a lot of activities centered around the school, like the school would have a to-do somewhere, you know?
No, because the school was so remote.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't any sororities or fraternity houses. There was no one living on the campus. It was a day school.
And I read on the thing where it says the last bus left at 6 p.m. The school had to be evacuated, or mm-hmm. had to be cleared at the time. So basically after school stuff, like on weekends, nobody really wasn't a big thing to get together and stuff. Just go to school.
I would say no, as compared to now.
Yeah.
I headed the reunion for the pre-50s in 1983. Mm-hmm. And I was out on the campus quite a bit getting material and all, and I couldn't believe what I saw. I dodged the skateboards and the bicycles.
Yeah, yeah.
And the dress code is so different.
Yeah. Did you have a dress code?
No, but you didn't wear shorts to,
mm-hmm.
to college. Or jeans.
Mm-hmm.
You might have worn dirty cords.
Everything.
I was wondering about the see, is that 33? That would be my year. Let's see if I... Well, silver. What do you know about it?
But the campus has grown quite a bit since you've been there, huh? Since you graduated?
Well,
You know, this was the entrance to the school?
Mm-hmm. That was all it was.
Wow.
The little theater was over here.
Mm-hmm. Did how many students were enrolled at that time? Do you remember? Remember seeing a lot of?
There weren't a lot of people from out of the county. Here's some of the old college.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's Dr. Alcott. She was a much loved...
McMullen?
...being a woman, Mary McMullen. Mm-hmm. This is the faculty, and as you see, it was about... I guess it had more men than women, but... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 10 here. But here's more women. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Would you Would you say that, like, San Diego State was real beneficial to you?
Yes.
So,
because I've had an interesting career in teaching.
Mm-hmm. The whole experience of going to the college was pretty positive and everything?
Yes, I think so. It wasn't the same as living at a college.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the same as it would be now. But I think that I have a group that I went to college with, a group of six of us, that have, we call it the Little Mother's Letdown Club, because we get together once a month and have dinner with each other and let down our back hair. And we've done that all these years, and we still meet.
Wow.
And we've shared a lot of experiences, and a lot of good and bad.
Did most everybody in that, were they teachers?
One of them is the one that majored in sports. She was a teacher. Alan was a teacher. Yeah, most of them were.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember about Betty, but if she taught, it was very briefly. This was my best friend. She's president of the senior class.
Wow.
And she's gotten her doctorate in music, and she lives up north. She's very active in music circles.
Should we stop that for your friend there? We're joined for a second with Mary Louise Stanley Baker.
Right.
Okay, the last thing I want to ask you, since we're almost out of tape, what do you guys remember the amenities in your houses at that time? Like, do you think everybody had cars and, like, was radios and refrigerators, that kind of thing?
Yes. Surely, in that thing, there was a picture of our car. There were no doors and no top and our first car. But when I was in college, we had the Franklin. There's a car.
Did everybody have every family have a car?
Did everyone have a car? No. No.
What would how would you get around?
Bus and the streetcars.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you did use the streetcars.
Shanks ponies.
Mary Louise's father was postmaster here in San Diego during those years.
East San Diego.
How about in the house?
We had, by the time I was in college, we had, my father worked for the gas company, remember, they bought him, and so he would buy the demonstration washing machines and refrigerators, so we got those reasonably. And my mother said my brother wore out the locks on the refrigerator. But we did have a refrigerator then. But the houses then didn't have but one bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You had them. This was the three-bedroom house. This house is about 80 years old. You can see the molding around the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
It had three bedrooms. This is one of the bedrooms. This is the wall.
Oh,
And it had only one bath. That's why this was built. Put another bathroom and bedroom. But we didn't have stereos or televisions.
You had radios?
We had radios. Father built us a little crystal set early on. He used with head pins. It was just a little board and a little crystal on it. And after everybody would go to bed, I would lie on a big library table that Father had made, and with the headphones and listen to the music. A lot of it from Point Loma, the old Theosophical Institute. And they had a beautiful music program. And I would listen to that, and the call would come down and we'd go to bed. I was the only one in the family that was a night person. They couldn't understand why I didn't want to go to bed. But we didn't. Radio came in while I was in high school, because I remember my high school diary talking about it.
The late 20s, my dad built Hammerlin Roberts radios, you know, to get a kit manual, and he built those the first one. Screeching static.
Yes. Yes. But the families did a lot more entertaining each other, talking to each other, reading with each other, and picnicking and, you know, just doing things together because we didn't have television.
How about telephones?
Yeah.
Everybody had a telephone?
Mm-hmm. Old stand-up kind. 22OJ was our number.
22OJ? That was it?
Or that was it. 22OJ. And I remember I didn't want to talk on the telephone. And the phone rang for me. This was before my college days, of course. And I didn't want to go to the phone. It turned out to be the librarian about something. But I was terrified. I don't know what it was. I still don't like to initiate a call on the phone. I don't mind if people call me, but I don't. I'm very, now Mary Louise is just the opposite. She does business and everything else, so she does well with it. But I'm very, very slow to do it. But the old 22OJ. And but the problem was that if we were talking to a boyfriend or something, my brother was right behind me, and he would say, that would be so nice, and Lou would say, oh, that would be so nice. That was his defense.
Were the refrigerators were electric refrigerators?
Yeah, what were the Servel ones that had the big dome up on top?
That was GE. GE had a big one.
So they.